Good morning. The June 23, 2021 Administration Committee meeting will now begin. For the record, this is a virtual meeting and all board members and participants are by telephone. For the record, Board Member Paracha is the treasurer's designee for today's meeting. I will now take roll call. Board Member Morocco?
Here.
Thank you. Board Member Adams?
Here.
Thank you. Board Member Paracha?
Here.
Thank you. Board Member Gordon?
Here.
Thank you. Board Member Rasmussen?
Here.
Thank you. Operator, we would like to open the floor for public comments. Can you please provide instructions for entering the queue to make a public comment?
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is now open for public comments. If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad to enter the queue. You will hear a brief tone to indicate you have successfully entered the queue. Priority access will be given to any participant who has pre-registered, and these comments will be taken in turn. We will then take public comments from remaining participants on a first-come, first-served basis. Each person will have 2 minutes for their public comment. A warning will be provided when 15 seconds remain. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter queue to make a public comment. And there is one speaker in queue. This public comment is coming from Joseph Clift. Joseph, your line is live and your time will now begin.
Good morning. I'd first like to apologize to Committee Member Adams for not providing a written version of my verbal comments in April. The topic then and now is my call to have this board, but the board committee, do its legally required job to advise
the full committee on all financial issues.
My concern then was that with the upcoming budget process,
we would once again have what appears to be a rubber stamp process where the board gets input, proposal from staff, and they simply ratify it. My concern was this committee is legally obligated to evaluate, discuss, question the input from staff, and then advise the board on what to do regarding major financial transactions. And we have this month, this is the last committee meeting before the full board meeting in July, when the operations and capital budgets will be voted on, and there's not a single piece of information on the fiscal 22 budgets in this agenda, which means, from what I can tell, this committee will not be able to do its required job. And specifically, will this committee weigh in on the fact that the governor's proposed budget massively shortchanges New Jersey Transit in appropriation support from the state? Secondly, will this committee require staff to provide service levels that will come with the proposed fiscal 22 budget? Specifically, how many trains will be run per day in the budget that's proposed for next year? And last, you may not be aware of this,
15 seconds remaining.
But you are getting right now, the month-to-month reports you get are based on the original budget, which was revised, legally required, in March. You should be getting monthly reports on how you're doing against that revised budget. And I'm wondering if you all will request that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And there were no other public comments in queue at this time.
Thank you, and thank you, public speaker. Board Member Morocco, any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Adams, any comments?
I do have a comment, and thank you, Joseph Cliff, for those comments, and I'm hoping that you can provide us with your written comments, because I go back and I take a look at them afterwards. And I do applaud you for bringing to attention to the board, and obviously it was in the paper about the governor's budget and how it does not appear to fully support New Jersey Transit. And I can tell you as a board member, I am going to be asking questions about that. And thank you for, I think, the question about how many trains per day are included in our operational budget, and I will follow up with staff on that. But yes, thank you again for your comment. And if you could please, send the board around your written comments. We do take your comments seriously. Thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Paracha, any comments?
No comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Gordon, any comments?
Just a very brief comment. I want to thank Joe Clift for his comments. You know, clearly the budget process leaves some room for improvement. The major elements of the budget were resolved among the governor's office and the leadership of the legislature only a short time before the budget was to go to the legislature for their review and endorsement. It's, you know, it's not an ideal process, so it's not surprising that the New Jersey Transit Board is not able to have the kind of input that I think all of us would like to have. I do think it's important to just keep some things in perspective. While I was disappointed that New Jersey Transit did not get more resources, and the problem of transfers from the capital budget to operations has not been resolved once and for all, although I have high hopes that it will be soon. I think it's important to keep in mind that of the federal funds that flowed into the state government this year, from what I've been told, New Jersey Transit got a pretty large percentage of that. You know, the governor and the legislative leadership just they made the final decisions about where the priorities are. I would have liked to have seen more money coming to New Jersey Transit. I'm disappointed, but you know, a lot of these decisions are made at levels way above my pay grade. Thank you very much for your comments.
Thank you. Board Member Rasmussen, any comments?
Only to thank Joseph Clift for his comments. Other than that, nothing else.
Thank you. Next is the financial update, Michael Court.
Thank you, Joyce. Good morning, board members and members of the public. I'm pleased to present New Jersey Transit's financial update for the period July 1st, 2020 through May 31st, 2021. Additional information related to key performance indicators, vacancy trends, revenue and ridership, and profit and loss details not presented can be found in the appendix. On slide one, through the 11 months ending May 31st, 2020, New Jersey Transit's net loss from operations was $848.1 million, which was offset by a $934 million CARES Act reimbursement and a $30 million state coronavirus relief fund reimbursement, plus a $4 million gain related to the timing of reimbursable project revenue for a total gain of $119.9 million. This compares to last year where we reported $125.8 million loss from operations and a $4.5 million loss due to the timing of reimbursable project revenue. In comparison, last month we reported a $740.8 million net loss from operations and a total gain of $120.1 million. Compared to budget, net income from operations is unfavorable by $155.8 million. This includes unfavorable operating revenue of $203 million and expenses being favorable to budget by $47.2 million. On the revenue side, fiscal year-to-date passenger revenue remains substantially below prior year levels due to the COVID-19 pandemic. For the month of May, passenger revenue was significantly below budget, especially on the railroad. In actual terms, passenger revenue has been below budget in each of the past 7 months. On the positive side, however, May revenue of $31.4 million was the highest single month since March of 2020. And a 13% month-over-month increase. Our third consecutive month of sequential revenue growth, which has brought our passenger revenue actuals above the $245 million forecasted earlier this calendar year. On the expense side, relative to budget, labor and fringe expense combined are favorable by $34.8 million, or 2.7% below budget, as most of the new hires over the past several months has focused on filling essential positions. Outside service costs are $6.7 million, or 5.6% above budget, due primarily to an increase in COVID-19 cleaning costs. Revenue vehicle fuel costs are $9.1 million, or 13.5% below budget, as a result of a reduction of fuel consumption. Material and supplies expense are $22.1 million, or 18.7% above budget, primarily due to COVID-19 cleaning materials and supplies. Purchase transportation costs are $16.5 million, or 8.2% below budget, and other expenses are favorable by $15.6 million, or 6.6%, mainly due to reduced bank service fees and credit card charges resulting from low ridership. The pace of our CARES drawdowns continues to exceed budget. There are two primary reasons. The first is due to the elimination of the state operating subsidy for the final 4 months of the fiscal year. The second is due to timing and matching of cash needs with cash receipts. On the next slide, page 2 is a more detailed view of passenger revenues compared to both budget and prior year. The dotted line at the top of each graph is the pre-COVID baseline, while the dashed and solid lines represent the fiscal 21 budget and our fiscal 21 actuals, respectively. Revenues by all modes began to flatten beginning in September as the second wave hit and continued to decline through February of 2021. For the month of May 2021, we are continuing to view a reversal of this previous decline trend. We remain optimistic that this improvement in passenger revenues will continue through the remainder of the fiscal year. On slide 3, the next slide further illustrates the revenue and ridership continued improvement throughout the month of May. The top chart reflects the 7-day moving average of daily ticket sales increases for both bus and rail, along with the bottom chart, which provides additional detail on revenue and ridership trends in our bus submarkets. Declines in the total value of daily single ride purchases at the end of May were 43% for bus and 61% for rail, which is measurably better compared to the level of declines experienced during the early fall and the month of October 2020. Specific to bus, our intrastate market has returned to over 50% of COVID levels. However, our northern interstate market to and from New York City continues to remain substantially lower than prior year. Rail monthly ticket sales in May of 2021 were at 11% of May 2019 pre-COVID levels, with bus monthly ticket sales at 33% of May 2019 levels. This is a continuance of the trend that we have been reporting in recent. On slide 4, our operating cash balance at May 31, 2020 was $74.9 million, a $2 million increase from April. On May 31st, we had no outstanding balance on the credit facility, and our long-term debt balance was $1,131 million. On slide 5, this last page illustrates the status of our CARES Act grant. In the month of May, we drew down $99 million in CARES Act funds for eligible expenses, bringing the total drawn down through May 31st to $1,294.7 million. We are anticipating an additional $45 million of CARES draws for the month of June. With the anticipated June drawdown, our total CARES draw through this fiscal year will be $1,339.7 million, or 94.1% of our total allocation, leaving $83.8 million for fiscal year 22 and beyond. This compares to $18.4 million projected in fiscal year 22 proposed budget. Generally speaking, eligible expenses for CARES Act drawdowns to date would include labor and fringe benefits, purchase transportation, professional services, electric propulsion power, and fuel for revenue vehicles. Of these expenses, the majority, or 86% approximately, of the funds have been to support labor and fringe. Our CARISA allocation, as well as our allocation on the American Recovery Plan Act, or ARPA, are still being negotiated between us and our partners in New York and Connecticut. An update will be provided once they are finalized. portions of the ERISA and ARPA grants that do not require negotiation and concurrence from New York and Connecticut have been submitted to the FTA. ERISA funds of $68 million have been approved, and ARPA funds in the amount of $256 million are pending approval. Thank you, and that concludes my report.
Thank you. Board Member Morocco, any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Adams, any questions or comments?
Yes, Joyce. If we could go back to slide number one. There was mention, and I'm just going to pick one item, that materials and supplies had a negative balance or negative impact of 22.1. And I think the mention of it was due to COVID expenses. And I heard that for a couple of the other line items. I remember at previous administration committee meetings that, and maybe I'm mistaken, we had asked that COVID-19 expenses be explicitly separated when we talk about these line items, because in future budgets and future reports in years to come, there's going to be no way to go back and see what the impact of the COVID-19 expenses are, because it's very hard to tell what we're spending on normal, how we're doing normally without COVID and then with COVID. And I don't remember if I had asked this or if another board member had asked that, but I'm asking it now, if we could separate these expenses out, because we really need to see the impact that COVID is having. And I think you mentioned materials. I think you mentioned another couple of items that have been negatively impacted by COVID. Is that possible?
Board Member Adams, this is Jeff Bernstein. We can provide a summary offline of what is related to COVID and what isn't. As a note, we did include a substantial amount of money, $120 million, in the fiscal 21 budget in order to enable our response to COVID. As you may recall through our conversations in the fiscal 22 budget, those funds have generally been removed from the budget and instead replaced as needed with kind of ongoing operations within our operating departments. So what you're seeing here is a little bit reflective of the timing considerations of where we placed the $120 million versus also how those expenses have hit. But we can provide a summary of what the expenses were by category and where they were.
Well, the reason I'm asking this, and I think it should be a public document, if we're saying we were impacted by COVID, which everybody was, we should separate that because it's not something that's a normal expense, and you're not going to see it in years and years to come. That's why I'm just asking to be separated. But whatever you can provide would be appreciated. My other question had to do with, and I didn't catch it exactly, you said negotiations are still ongoing for some of the other federal money that we're getting between New York and Connecticut?
Board Member Adams, Bill Vicaro, that's correct. With respect to ERISA and ARPA, we've reached agreement with Pennsylvania and Delaware on the portions that relate to those UZAs. We're also in agreement with Connecticut. We continue and are continuing negotiations with New York. In the meantime, we've submitted the grant applications that are applicable to the Pennsylvania and Delaware regions, Atlantic City as well, to accelerate those parts of the grant funding.
Okay. So without divulging anything confidential or anything like that, what can the board do to get these negotiations finished and finalized? Because it's been months and you're still negotiating with New York. Is there anything that the board can do, or what is the holdup there?
This is Kevin Board Member Adams. There are a number of issues that involve, with goes through DOT through a process and with FTA. So that is between, Diane as commissioner or her office, as well as, myself and working out with New York those issues.
So what you're saying is there's really nothing that the board can do, and this is just a normal process, and it just takes a little bit longer in New York than it did in Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and Delaware?
That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, just please let the board know if there's anything that we can do, because, you know, this really needs to be finalized as soon as possible, and I hate to see us getting in our own way to getting funds. Okay. Those are the only questions and comments I have, Joyce, and thank you for the presentation.
Thank you. Board Member Gordon, any questions or comments?
Yes. Again, thanks for the presentation. A couple questions, and these may be more appropriate for Bill Vaccaro or Kevin. Note again that the revenue trends are still tracking below the slow recovery scenario. Does that suggest any need to recalibrate our projections for the upcoming budget?
Board Member Gordon, it's Bill Vaccaro. So we are working with our outside consultants, our planning group, to update the forecasts. I will say the revised forecast, you're absolutely correct. We have tracked in fiscal 21 consistently below the forecast from last year as a result of the second wave in the winter. We are, I think, tracking much closer to what we had forecasted in the March timeframe when we last reviewed this with the board. If you may recall, we were forecasting to be around 60% of pre-COVID by the end of this calendar year. That certainly seems within reason. Right now, we had also forecasted on average to be about 60% for fiscal year 22. We are tracking, I think, much closer to those forecasts, but we are trying to refine those before we present a final budget for your review and approval in July. We are seeing a very consistent increase in ridership over the last several months, as Mike mentioned in his comments. May was $31 million in passenger fares, which is the best month we've seen in over a year. That said, substantially below normal, but normal would be more in the $80-85 million range. So we are making steady improvement. We're seeing ridership as a percentage of pre-COVID continuously week over week improve and month over month. So I don't think if we make an adjustment to it, I don't anticipate that it will be as significant as what we've seen in fiscal 21, where we went into the year in the middle of a pandemic, somewhat shooting blind, and then obviously did not budget for a second wave, and that materially impacted the forecast and the official budget, which is what we've continued to report on. Also take the opportunity to note we have one budget. That was the budget that was approved by the board last July. We continue to report against that budget, notwithstanding that it does show we've missed in on the revenue side by a significant margin. The outlook that we updated last March was done as a matter of providing the board and management information and our best view of what we how we saw the future unfolding at that point in time. It is not the official budget, nor was it adopted by the board back in March.
Okay, thank you. That was very helpful. Another question. Yesterday, I as I alluded to in my earlier comment to Mr. Cliff, I heard a comment made in by a legislative staffer that New Jersey, I guess, CARES Act and the follow-on aid packages combined brought New Jersey a total of something like $10 billion, and of that amount, approximately $2.4 billion went to New Jersey Transit. Do those numbers sound like they're in the right ballpark? And would you be able to get us those figures? I mean, I think it's just important to keep to understand the bigger picture and keep this all in perspective in terms of the money that's been flowing to transit.
Sure. So I won't speak to the state specifically. I don't track it as closely, but for New Jersey Transit, CARES Act was $1.4 billion. CARISA, We had said we anticipated about $1.2 billion publicly, and ARPA $2 billion, so that $4 billion is approximately correct in terms of what we had calculated and expected from the three stimulus packages.
Okay, great. That's helpful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
No other questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Board Member Peracha, any questions or comments?
No questions or comments at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Rasmussen, any questions or comments?
Only to say thank you for the reports, and it looks like it's optimistic that we're kind of trending in the right direction here finally coming out of this. So that's good news.
Thank you. Next is the Human Resources Update, Judith Mistilla.
Thank you, Joyce. Good morning, board members. Today I'll be presenting the HR dashboard. Before I go over the dashboard for April and May, I wanted to highlight some important events that New Jersey Transit recently celebrated. In honor of Earth Day, our employee engagement team wanted to do something to celebrate the day that would educate our employees and would also align with New Jersey Transit's 2030 strategic goal of promoting a more sustainable future for our planet. They partnered with Rutgers Assistant Professor Dr. Steve Urjoy, who is a part of the Rutgers Environmental Extension, to bring a very special Earth Day event to our employees. Dr. Urjoy spoke on topics that covered environmental justice and water conservation. Dr. Urjoy also provided simple steps on how we can conserve water. The session was recorded and is accessible to our employees to access at their convenience on App Transit. Also, while technically not in the time frame of the April and May dashboard, I think it's timely to mention this since the nation just celebrated Juneteenth, and here in New Jersey Transit, we did as well. On September 10, 2020, Governor Phil Murphy signed legislation designating the third Friday in June as a state and public holiday known as Juneteenth Day. New Jersey Transit made this an official holiday for our employees and observed it on Friday, June 18th. As a kickoff to our first official holiday, our Black and African American Company Employee Resource Group held a powerful Juneteenth event to commemorate the holiday and reflect and educate on its history. The Employee Resource Group is called BRIDGES, which stands for Building a Resource for Inclusion, Diversity, and Guidance for Equitable Standards. BRIDGES invited Dr. Valerie Lewis Mosley, who is an adjunct professor of theology at Caldwell University and an adjunct professor of theology at Xavier University of Louisiana Institute, and a member of the Black Catholic Theological Symposium. Dr. Lewis Mosley discussed the legacy, history, and cultural relevance of Juneteenth and our experience as Black folks today in these times. The event had over 200 employees in virtual attendance. The celebration of the holiday is another testament to our commitment to inclusion as laid out in our 2030 strategic plan to create a more diverse and inclusive organization for our employees, customers, business partners, and community. And now, turning to the HR dashboard, starting with the month of April. For corporate, our number of positions to fill 33 for agreement, 129 for non-agreement. For bus operations, 227 agreement, 56 non-agreement. Rail operations, 52 agreement, 26 non-agreement. Light rail, 1 agreement, and 3 non-agreement. Our authorized headcount for corporate, agreement, 583, non-agreement, 1,168. Bus operations, 5,206 for agreement, 551 for non-agreement. Rail operations, 4,087 for agreement, 452 for non-agreement. Light rail, 102 for agreement, 119 for non-agreement. In our employment actions, there were 13 new employees hired in the month of April, non-agreement for corporate, 37 agreement in bus, with the majority being bus operators, 36 agreement in rail, with the majority being assistant conductors, 2 non-agreement positions. There were no hires in light rail. Our promotions, we had a total of 23, with the majority being in non-agreement in rail. For job reclassifications, there were a total of 33, with the majority being in bus. Retirements, we had a total of 21, with the majority being in bus. Other separations, we had a total of 38, with the majority being in bus operations. Disciplinary actions, There were a total of 56 suspensions, and total of discharges for the month of April were 4. Now turning to the dashboard for May. Number of positions to fill in agreement for corporate were 33, non-agreement 129. Bus operations, there were 225 agreement positions and 56 non-agreement. Rail operations, 89 agreement, 49 agreement, 3 non-agreement for light rail. Our authorized headcount, 582 agreement and corporate, 1,169 non-agreement. Bus operations, 5,206 agreement, 551 non-agreement. Rail operations, 4,087 agreement, 452 non-agreement. Light rail, 102 agreement, 119 non-agreement. New employment actions, there were 7 new employees hired in the month of May, non-agreement for corporate, 47 in bus operations under agreement, 33 in rail operations under agreement, 1 agreement higher in light rail. Promotions, there were a total of 19 with a predominant in rail operations under non-agreement. Under job reclassifications, there were a total of 18 with predominant in bus operations. Retirement, total of 27 with predominant in bus operations. Other separations, we had a total of 44 predominantly in bus operations. Disciplinary actions, there were a total of 56 suspensions between bus operations and rail, and no discharges for the month of May. That concludes the dashboard for April and May.
Thank you. Board Member Morocco, any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Adams, any questions or comments?
Yeah, I do have a question, Judith, about the dashboard. I'm trying to reconcile the difference between number of positions to fill in April to number of positions to fill in May. The total headcount didn't seem to increase. So can you just, I know you probably did it with your details, but can you just briefly explain how the number went up, and it almost seems like 50 positions?
Hi, I'll have to look into that and I'll get back to you, Board Member.
Yeah, no, that's fine, because it went from 527 and it went to 575. I'm just curious to know why it went up. And that's fine. Okay, you can get back to
board
me.
Board Member Adams, it's Senior Vice President Kwan. So the number of positions to fill is separate from the authorized headcount. So this basically reflects at the end of the month how many positions were requisitioned, which is the technical administrative terms for saying how many of those headcounts the hiring manager said, hello, HR, please fill these. So that would be just the difference of the additional requisitions that were made in terms of the headcounts that were open to say, hey, let's go recruit for these positions. So I hope that answers your question, and we can certainly fill you out with more detail in terms of what that delta is in terms of those titles. But that is essentially what that difference is there.
Okay. So, Jeannie, thank you, as always. And I think you probably explained this to me before. So let me try to say it in my own words. I see that the total headcount didn't increase. But if April had been 0 and one department had made a request, the number would go up to 1. And it's not the difference in the total headcount. It's just the difference in the requests that get to human resources, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so now I understand it, and hopefully you can hold me to it so I don't ask the same question next month. Thank you. That explains that. My last comment is, and Kevin, this is for you and for your entire staff, especially human resources. You and I have talked about this before, and New Jersey Transit really needs to be applauded for their Juneteenth celebration. I mean, it will be a federal holiday. It's a state holiday. and for New Jersey Transit to be taking a lead on such an important topic to show their commitment to DE&I, I really have to applaud you for that. And the Brides, I think it was employee event group, hats off to them. I hope the press is on the line and decides to write something good that New Jersey Transit has been doing and continues to do. I'm just proud to be a board member when I hear that you are doing things like this for all of your employees. So I want to thank staff, Jeannie, Kevin, Judith, for you know, putting this program together, allowing the employees to be a part of the organization. And again, I just want to say thank you. Those are the only comments that I have, Joyce.
Thank you. Board Member Paracha, any questions or comments?
No comments. Thanks to everyone, for all your presentations.
Thank you. Board Member Gordon, any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Rasmussen, any questions or comments?
No questions, no comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is the Equal Employment Opportunity and Affirmative Action Update, Naheem Din.
Good morning. Starting with the first slide after the cover page, some highlights. During April and May, the Office of EEO and Affirmative Action continued to timely process new complaints and significantly reduce the number of pending complaints. At the end of January of this year, there were 47 pending complaints, whereas at the end of May, there were 36 pending complaints. By way of comparison, a year ago, at the end of May 2020, there were 77 open complaints. We continue to provide mandatory online and live virtual sexual harassment and discrimination prevention training. Training for bus and light rail agreement employees started in March of this year and is ongoing. Our staff members also continue to receive training as part of their professional development. This training has been provided by Cornell University School of Industrial and Labor Relations, as well as the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Topics have included internal investigations, updates on EEO law and process, and providing of internal harassment training. Moving to the next slide. This slide shows monthly complaint activity. During the current reporting period, 5 new investigations were opened and 10 pending complaints were closed. Last year's end of May data is included here for comparison purposes. Next slide shows the number of open cases from prior years the next slide shows the number of open cases in prior years continues to significantly trend downward. Only one complaint filed in 2018 remained open at the end of May. This complaint investigation is now completed, and the case has been closed. So currently, there are no cases open from 2018. 3 complaints from 2019 remained open, and 19 complaints remained open from 2020. The rest of the open complaints are from this year. Next slide shows, on the left pie chart, shows the most frequently alleged basis for discrimination. This included alleged discrimination on sex, that's 41%, race, 19%, retaliation, 16%, age, 5%, and gender identity, 5%. The pie chart on the right shows the most frequently cited basis for discrimination alleged in complaints by action. 95% of the complaints alleged non-sexual harassment, while 5% alleged sexual harassment. Of the complaints that allege non-sexual harassment, most allege harassment based on race, followed by age. The last slide, next slide, which is the next to the last slide, this shows complaints opened and closed each month for the current reporting period. In April, 2 complaints were opened and 5 were closed. In May, 3 complaints were opened and 5 were closed. And this concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Morocco, any questions or comments?
Just encouraging to see all the numbers trending in the right direction. That is it. Thanks.
Thank you. Board Member Adams, any questions or comments?
Joyce, just I want to echo Morocco's comments. It's just it is very encouraging to see the numbers trending in the right direction. Just keep up the good work, and thank you for that report. No other comments.
Thank you, Board Member Paracha. Any questions or comments?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Board Member Gordon. Any questions or comments?
One question, and thank you for that report. I think, as we all know, there were some press reports in the last month regarding some sexual harassment cases involving the bus division. Those cases occurred a number of years ago, and I guess what I'd like to know is, I would appreciate if someone could talk about what processes have been put in place to prevent a recurrence or to avoid the kind of situation that we're reading about from past years. I mean, I know there's been improvements in the training programs, but what are we doing, for example, to check the backgrounds of applicants to make sure that they have not been disciplined in a prior job, for example? Just what can you do to reassure the board that we're not likely to see these situations going forward?
Yes, I think Board Member Gordon, it's Kevin. I'll make some general comment, and then Naeem can make any specific. But obviously we don't comment any specific case, but the one that hit the press, as you know, goes years back. But since we came in 2018, we've done a lot. And I think that's a bit reflected in Board Members Adams' compliment. We really have done a lot, both in the letter of the law, but also the spirit of the law. So to your point of training, we've put in a whole batch of programs, including online training programs. Naeem can talk about what he does also is getting out in the field as well, so to make sure that our unionized workforce is part of that process and fully engaged. And that is out in the field, because with 12,000 workers and the most diverse state and different cultural backgrounds, there's a lot of positive education that we can do in being proactive. I can let Naeem talk to some of the things, but overall, it's even selfish for us. We want to have the most diverse state in the union. We have incredible resources that we want to draw. We want to be the employer of choice. So, the diversity and inclusion initiatives that we have under Leota Sanders and Jeannie Kwan, and that's fully embraced with all the by senior management, coming right really from the governor on down, I think has done a lot to get the kind of results that we see with Naeem. But as far as you raise a good point of the background checks, there were. We've strengthened background checks, not just for employees, so that we also do that for temp hires now, so that sometimes people would come in as a temporary employee and would be then, if they were performing well, then would then be hired, and it sort of left a loophole that somebody could have been a temp and then be made a full-time employee without having that full background check. So, so we do that, and obviously, if somebody does not, well, we also make sure that it's all everything that they sign is disclosed. And if they hide something material from their application, whether as a temp or as a permanent employee, then they're subject to immediate dismissal for not disclosing something if they're trying to hide something in their background. I think nowadays also, in fairness, you go back a decade ago, I think the ability to do more background check, dig in the, with the data that you can get now online. I think doing those background searches are more thorough than, in the past, where some of the stuff may not be as easily you know, if you Googled it or something, you know, you wouldn't be able to get it as easily now. It seems, I don't think there's anything in anybody's background you can't get out if you search with a proper search engine. But, we have strengthened that significantly, both in the, both the letter of our obligation, but also the spirit of it. And I think Naeem is, and the team are good representatives of that effort. But Naeem, do you want to talk anything more about some of the specifics?
As President Corbett mentioned, we certainly are conducting our investigations in a shorter period of time. We are sensitive to these types of complaints that come in. We are making an effort to go out in the field and make the employees aware of our policy and the internal complaint process mechanism that's available to them. So we want to make sure that as complaints come in, they are investigated properly and quick remedial action is taken. Our efforts to go out in the field and talk to employees are ongoing, and that they will increase in the remainder of this year and moving forward.
Okay, thank you very much.
The one thing I would say, and thanks to the board for those last few years, was allowing us to staff up the department before. Sort of taking it for granted now because it's been 3 years, but for those who were here before 2018, the department was not staffed. So the ability to do, that's why there was such a big backlog when we came in. And clearly that, I think, set an example that it was not a priority, the highest priority. And certainly I think the resources that the board gave us and allowed us to, create and fill positions so that Naeem had the staff, one, hiring Naeem, and then, to be able to have the staff to fill out so he'd be able to do this, particularly get out in the field, the rail yards, the bus depots, et cetera, is, that's due to having the resources available. So thanks to the board for that.
Thank you. Board Member Rasmussen, any questions or comments?
Only to say that I appreciate the report, and I recognize the hard work and then the corresponding results as a result of all the hard work. So it's greatly appreciated, and great work, guys.
Thank you. Board members, that concludes the agenda for the Administration Committee. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your line.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everyone.